This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian from New York.
And Rich from Sacramento, California.
And what's going on, Rich? Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We have a wonderful show, but I kind of asked you a question and just interrupted your answer. So what's happening, okay. Rich?
Not much. Business is going on great. And I want to tell all the real estate photographers out there that you should keep with your plan, and it's going to get better. It's going to keep continuing as you're doing. And I just want to say that everything in Sacramento is going great and it's going well.
Cool. So we have, I think the first time ever, a nice roundtable group of guests here. So let's not waste time with our useless banter like we normally do. And let's get right into it. So before we introduce everyone, Rich, let me just give a quick word from our sponsor, HD Photo Hub. HD Photo Hub is a real estate photographer's business platform for payment collection, online ordering, scheduling, photo delivery, property websites, and more. With tons of new features, if you haven't seen them lately, take a look at hdphotohub.com. That's hdphotohub.com. And with that, Rich, since we have like a little East Coast, West Coast thing going on here, I will let you introduce some of your neighbors, because I think all our guests are right around the corner from you today.
Yeah, well, we have Peter Lyons, and Peter and I have been very good friends for a long time. And Peter is one of the top real estate and interiors photographers in Northern California. But you know, it's Peter, you've been a real estate photographer for years and you taught me everything I know. So where are you at? What's going on with you?
I taught Wayne Capilli everything he knows. And then he taught.
I don't know.
I think it's something like that. It's just sort of the status quo here. I feel fortunate. Had a pretty solid year. Feel like I've had a good busy January and a weirdly busy holiday season. And, yeah, things are well. Things are hopping.
And you've been on the show before, I think, a couple of years back. So welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Cool. And as we move on, I'll go to Adam. Adam Potts, who we met in Vegas, I guess, over a year ago now, a year and a half ago. Deceivingly tall. I do remember that.
You can't really appreciate it on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. You can't really see.
No one can really see. Stand up, Adam. Will you please stand up?
Maybe if I get a sit-stand desk, you know.
Well, welcome, Adam. First time on with us. And give us the 30-second elevator pitch on what you do.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Nice to be on with you. I'm based in the same town as Peter, and talk to these guys, Stephen and Peter, quite a bit. I've been in the business, 4 years or so, but I've been practicing the craft for a little bit longer. Shoot mainly architecture, interiors design, landscape design, but still do a fair amount of real estate at all different levels. So that's what I do. Absolutely love it. Had a, despite the pandemic, was able to put together a pretty strong year, and it's, just kind of gearing up for the new year now and getting ready for it.
Awesome. And yeah, I follow your work on Instagram. You're killing it now. So kudos to you. Doing good work. And Steve, Steve, you and I have become friendly over the last couple of months, I guess. You're also a recent transplant to Northern California.
Yeah, I am brand new to Marin County. I just moved up here, technically last March from Los Angeles, and I shoot mostly commercial photography at this point because I'm trying to get my way into the real estate market up here. But I'm still back and forth between Los Angeles and the Bay Area most of the time.
Sounds fun. And we should have done this while each of you spoke, but if you want to give a quick plug to either your website or your Instagram handle so people can take a look at your work while we chat, we'll start with you, Peter.
Sure. I'm at peterlyonsphoto.com. You can find me on Instagram at peterlyonsphoto. And I also have an account called PLP_maritime, where I post some of my personal project work / trying to break more into shipping and industrial photography.
Cool. Adam?
Yeah, so website is just adampottsphotography.com, and then Instagram is at adampottsphoto, two T's and pots.
And awesome. Mine is stephenjmagner.com, that's Stephen with a B, and my Instagram is also stephenjmagner.
Awesome, and we'll post all those links in the show notes.
And I want to say one thing about at least Peter. I know that you do some extraordinary real estate photography or design photography, but you also do, give us a little push on your boat photography or your ship.
You know,
what's it called? Ship?
Well, boat? Ships, maritime. I do maritime, all kinds of things.
Maritime.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty broad label and it's a pretty broad thing, but like between 2006 and 2010 I was really trying to make a go of just making a career for myself in regatta photography.
How'd that go?
I'm gonna say it was a great way to spend money and a pretty poorly conceived business plan for making money. Fortunately, I figured that out. I transitioned, and now in those 4 years, I made enough of a name for myself that I get the occasional call. I get the occasional paying gig. I have some colleagues in the field. And you know what? If I get a break a few times a year to get called to go shoot some big regatta or just go hang out at the Port of Oakland and shoot there and try to make contacts with the shipping companies and maybe occasionally get something out of that, you know, it's real icing on the cake. And I really gave myself permission to do that. It sounds like a stupid way to say it. I'm a grown man, but like the way that at the PFRE conference in 2019, the value of personal projects and passion projects was really promoted, really made me go, you know what? I love shipping. I love sailing. I should be making it a priority to go out there and do it. And ever since then, I have. I'm out there at the Port of Oakland pretty regularly. I'm talking to people. I'm making connections. COVID's made it difficult, but it hasn't really dampened my enthusiasm for it. So I just, you know, if there's something else that people out there would like to picture themselves doing, you know, just follow the common advice. Go shoot the kind of stuff that you want people to pay you to shoot. Go shoot it now. And then, you know, let things develop organically. It'll happen.
But if somebody's not wanting to pay you for it, don't give up your passion.
No, just go shoot it.
Because it's not about money. It's not about money.
No. Right.
Well, that's a good segue because I guess we had no real format for discussion for tonight, but talking about personal projects is pretty neat. You know, I know Adam, you were there last year when, you know, pretty much everybody just kept pushing Scott and Mike Kelly, personal projects. So, right. You know, I guess, you know, Peter, you covered that, but Adam and Steve, are you working on anything just for yourself? Anything that you enjoy doing that's fun to you that you just go out and shoot for the hell of it?
Yeah. So, I'll jump in. You know, both Steven and I have we came from a landscape photography background, you know, and shooting nature. And I've kind of, that's how I started, in photography. And, you know, I hung prints in galleries and sold and licensed prints for a long time. And, I've kind of evolved that into a specific gallery of images that, as I've seen these really cool projects that I've shot for interior designers, architects, and builders, you know, I think about what would work well on the walls of these places. And so I've developed a gallery of this work that is, you know, it's a little more high key, a little more graphic, kind of more editorial, almost everything's kind of straight on. And I've had some good luck with that. And, you know, those same images have been licensed out to like agents that are trying to rebrand themselves locally and have a more relevant message to their community, you know, tying in the local landscapes and nature. So that's been my big kind of winter focus as we kick this year off. And it's really cool to see, you know, like Peter said, how it kind of weaves in and out of your everyday work. So that's what I've been focusing on.
Yeah, I actually started with the passion project first and then decided to stick to where I could actually make a living. Actually, prior to shooting real estate photography, I worked for a real estate company as a graphic designer, and I got very disillusioned in the working administration and picked up a camera because it was always something that I was interested in at 30 years old, and went out to the Eastern Sierra and shot a lot of astrophotography. And that was kind of what drove me to get off my rear end and learn how to become a photographer. And it was a whole lot of fun, but there wasn't a lot of money to be made there. I mean, especially when you're looking at everybody on social media.
Astrophotography, you think money?
It's creative work, that's for sure. It's definitely not something that you'll ever see printed on people's walls at nice big houses and stuff like that. It's so dark, but it was a lot of fun. I used to do a lot of backpacking and hiking. So it was nice to bring a camera with me and document it a little bit. But yeah, once my now 19-month-old came around, it was time to kind of give up that a little bit and refocus my priorities.
Yeah, but it's still good to go out every so often if you love doing it just for the sake of it. And
well, I've discovered that Northern California has a lot of rain, especially this week. So I think once that warm weather comes back around, I might find myself outside more.
We've had quite a bit of rain, quite a bit of snow, you name it, wind, trees blowing down. It's been incredible. So, you know, Steve, though, it's Steven. Is it Steven or Steve?
Steve's fine. Yeah.
Okay. I really appreciate your input towards you got to do what fills your heart, you know, what is your passion of things. And, you know, Adam, I'm sure you feel this too. You know, what is your passion about photography and things you're doing? And I know, Peter, you get your passion at boats and the, how would you name that? Your passion of
yeah, called it, you know, maritime photography. I've always just been like one who loves the water and loves the ships and loves the sailboats and all of it. And it's just always a treat to get out there to get around it and shoot it just for my own pleasure. And if something commercial comes of it, and it has with some of it, not the ships, but with the sailing, it certainly has. But I'm glad I don't rely on it to pay my bills, but it pays some bills.
Well, is there anything you can say about trying to make your passion into a livelihood? Or making just, actually money.
You know, have you ever heard of the notion of having your business be like a three-legged stool? You know, the idea that like, don't have all of your cash flow come from like one thing that you do. Like maybe don't do just real estate photography. Maybe also develop a healthy portrait photography business or a healthy, you know, get like build an increasing, you know, landscape portfolio of fine art prints, just like Steve and Adam both, you know, do. Keep that out there. Keep the stuff that you love to do in your portfolio and keep shooting for it. You know, it's not going to hurt. And maybe it becomes like a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. My son likes to say, don't lose your dinosaur, you know, from Step Brothers.
Adam, let me ask you, how do you incorporate the things that you got originally into to do photography and make it work into you to a paying thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that's why I did this in the first place. I left a really stable career of many years, you know, that was well paying and had all the great benefits. And so I had to hit the ground running for one, but you know, it was really about designing a lifestyle and you know, going after an area of the business, a genre of photography, you know, being architecture and interiors and real estate that would allow for a variation every day, you know, seeing something new every day. That's my favorite part about it. And, you know, today it's incredible. You know, we have clients throughout the state and even other places, and we're able to tie in a family vacation and, you know, shoot a home and make it viable. And then do what I'm passionate about on the side with photography and shoot some landscapes, you know, go up to Tahoe to shoot a home and then, you know, get out into nature and really appreciate how it all kind of weaves together, you know, ultimately.
That's awesome.
It's interesting because when I was in Los Angeles, I was good friends with an interior designer and I actually, or a home stager for real estate. And I actually had printed a few of my pieces of work and gave it to her as like gifts. And they were like pretty big, prints, like 40 by 60. I still have one print that every couple of months, she's like, hey, I got two buyers for you. So, I mean, I make income on something that like I completely had forgotten about. I'm not going to give up on landscape photography. I'm just looking for the time again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, there's so many different opportunities, you know, you just have to put your work out there and, you know, it's, you can develop some passive income from the stuff, you know, if you market it correctly and, you know, don't be too forward about it, let it happen organically, but remind people that you have it available. And, you know, what Peter's done with, the container ships is just incredible. You know, I actually want to talk to you, Peter, about buying a print, cause I just love what you've done. I mean, it's just incredible. Thanks. How many times you've gotten out there, you know, probably early in the morning, gotten access, gotten the drone up and picked up these incredible images. It's really unique and cool.
Thank you. It's super fun.
Adam, let me ask you, Peter.
I was going to ask Adam if those are his prints on the wall behind him.
Yeah, that's me. You can print.
Oh, nice.
Not a very good representation of light, but.
Yeah, hey. Sorry, Rich.
That's okay. Peter, let me ask you, as you have a big niche on the ships and the going with the sailing ships and such, what do you say to anybody else that's got maybe a niche that wants to do bird photography or
kite surfing?
I know. Kite surfing.
Yeah, that's totally.
Oh my God. But just things like that. What would you say to find your passion and then make money from it or something like that?
The making money from it part, you know, that comes a little more slowly. But yeah. You know what? Hey, okay. So one, just go do it. And B, like the same reason that the five of us are all talking here together is ultimately like talk to the other people who do what you're into. Like, I never really understand people who like just do their profession like hermits. Like, I love hanging out with Adam and Steve. And like, Steve came and did a shoot with me that I was doing anyway. He said, you know what would make this better? Getting some people in here. I'm like, you know what? I didn't really have that on my radar, but you're right on. He showed up. He assisted me with my gear. He appears in those photos along with my clients. And you know what? It's a much stronger shot than it would have been. So like, whether it's like your mainline business, your real estate architectural photography, or your passion project, your personal project, just start talking to other people who do it. Get on Instagram, tag your photos, comment on other people's stuff, get to know the other people in your area, pick up the phone, talk to them. If someone doesn't want to talk to you, don't talk to them. If someone does want to talk to you, call them every now and then. Find a way, you know, when we can all get together safely again, get together, go have a beer, go, like I'm looking to get on tugboats or container ships or whatever. COVID's really kind of shut that down, but it doesn't keep me from talking to the people who are the tug captains here on San Francisco Bay or the people who are the pilots bringing the container ships. And it doesn't keep, you know, and we can all like, there's so much value to be found in building friendships with your local colleagues. I mean, some people, I think it's almost like an attitude thing. Do you consider them competitors or colleagues? I'd rather consider everyone colleagues. I feel like there's plenty of business for everyone. Go out there, make friends, collaborate, consider doing some projects together. I don't know, just go do what you want to do and keep it balanced. Don't just focus on like your main stream of income. I love real estate photography and architectural photography, but it is not the only thing I want to shoot.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying, Peter, holds true just even in a broader term, because I mean, not only make friendships or talk to your local colleagues, but just make friendships with colleagues in the business, no matter where they are. I mean, look, the five of us are here talking, and besides the four of you, I'm on the other side of the country. Yeah. And you know, Peter, I spoke to you, I think it was last week or earlier this week. I don't even remember.
It was like, yeah, it's Tuesday. You go, it must be Tuesday. You're calling me.
It was 2 days ago.
Our podcast just dropped.
That's how I know we had a good podcast. Whenever I see Peter Lyons come up in my caller ID, I'm like, all right, we had a good episode release, you know, and Steve, I spoke to earlier today. So it's, I think, you know, I think I said it to you, Rich, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I said, from a selfish standpoint, if anything from this podcast over the last 3 years, you know, it helps you build friendships, build relationships. And every week when we sit down and talk to somebody, I'm learning. And we've been doing that for 125 weeks now. So just having that, yeah, tell me about it, Rich. So just having that ability to just get on, you know, get on the on Zoom for an hour and just chat with colleagues about whatever it is, business or technique or gear, you're always learning. So yeah, just build those relationships.
Yeah, I'll just tag on to that. I had a about an hour long conversation with Gary Gomez this morning, and just to share best practices and doing exactly that. And it's incredible, you know, what you can get out of just a 1 hour conversation with somebody. And you know, we spent a lot of time talking about this subject and also how important it is to keep multiple irons in the fire. You know, and if you're feeling like you want to fully transition to architecture and design, you know, like don't forget about the value of shooting real estate. We both shared a lot of similar sentiment about how great it is, you know, like this time of year when the bigger jobs are not coming in as consistently, you know, having a few real estate jobs to get out and keep your skill sharpened. And what those jobs can lead to is that's a reason alone not to let it go. And, you know, I know I found myself last year during some of the really busy months of the year, like, gosh, I just don't even want to go shoot this place. But when I look in hindsight, some of the connections I developed out of that, you know, work that have led me to, you know, bigger and better opportunities, you know, I don't have any reason to leave that work behind, you know, and it's just nice to have that variation, I think. It utilizes your brain in different ways.
No, you said it perfect, because like you said, you never know what will lead to another job where you are. I mean, I'll give you an example. Today, I shot a commercial real estate shoot in a skyscraper that's actually opening up here in downtown Brooklyn. So all crises aside, because I don't know if you guys heard, I got stuck in an elevator for 2 hours today. But besides, fun times. It was a blast. Me and six other people in a 4x3 foot elevator for about an hour and 40 minutes.
Scary.
Yeah, it was fun. But and then when they finally got the door pried open, we were in between floors, so I had to like leap down like 5-6 feet. It was fun. Anyway, point being, this building is pretty much empty, so I was shooting all the floors, but the only two floors they already have rented out are from the architect who designed that building. So that he designed the building and rented two floors of the space, and he was already in there. So I went in and talked to him and met him. And he does big buildings all over the city. So, you know, it's just a perfect example of what you're saying. I went in to do a commercial real estate gig, and I made a connection with an architect who builds buildings all over New York City. So
exactly. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Just look for those serendipitous opportunities and grab them. It's those kinds of more personal connections that are sort of organic and unforeseen. Man, who knows?
So let me ask you a question. I was having this discussion with my wife earlier today. Can I bill my client for my 2 hours of time in the elevator? Yes.
No. That's a far reach.
Okay. Someone come in there. Someone come in. Come on. Adam, can you bill your client for that time?
I guess that's a no.
No, you got nothing from Adam.
Suck it up,
Adam,
so. Suck it up and time lost.
Peter, yeah. do you bill your client for that time?
I have not yet billed my client for elevator time, but I don't spend that much time on them.
Try and back off from the whole thing, what it is. Yeah. But would you consider making that a part of your billable items?
Seriously, I've never even billed a client for a cancellation fee.
I know,
never
because felt you're like such anyone a sweet was, ass. I don't. Know.
I've never felt like anyone's been abusive with me. I feel like when people have postponed on me at the last minute, they're as frustrated as anyone. And honestly, like my initial reaction to most postponements is like, I get some time off. I can go to the port. I can go take a walk by the water between shoots. I can just chillax for a while. I have time for a longer, more leisurely lunch. I'm fine. You know, like that one shoot is not throwing me off.
And I don't want to, you know what, I would like to add on that though, because, you know, I'm looking Adam and Stephen and Peter and Brian, you're upper end photographers. You're doing well. You're doing really, you have a great clientele. You have a, everything like that. What do you say to people that are just getting started that are not quite as established with their clientele? What do you say to them that want to, you know, that let's say they get to a place and it's a mess. It's a freaking mess. And what do you do about that? Because that's something I still deal with. Please believe me, I'm Rich Baum, but I'm getting messes to photograph. So what do you do about that?
I mean, we all walk into it, right? And there's nothing more frustrating. And it, you know, I mean, there's times in your career where you're not going to put up with that.
You think?
and there's times where, you know, it's an opportunity to educate your client on how shoot day should be. I had a situation this past year where, you know, a great client of mine who, you know, brings awesome listings and, you know, pays basically architecture rates. You know, we walked into this place and it was a total mess. It was not photo ready. And I realized that she just didn't understand how to manage her clients, you know? So after I left and we kind of rescheduled the thing, I talked to her for like a half an hour and, you know, just broke down like, hey, this is what you need to do. And she was receptive. Some agents won't be, some agents will, you know, not even entertain that conversation. But, you know, like you just, if you're at that point in your career where you're really trying to develop these relationships, you're going to know who to let go and you're going to know who is worth trying to educate and, you know, cultivate the relationship with. And, you know, I think it's kind of reading those clients because, you know, if people are repeat offenders, then it's time to cut ties, but you have to have a certain level of patience to understand, you know, that you play a role in, you know, determining how the, you know, how the shoot's going to go and setting the expectations up front.
Clarification of expectations, I think, is so critical.
And I have a question for both Adam and Steve. Both of you have, you know, you've been relatively, like I've been doing this for like 10 years, which doesn't seem like a long time to me, but it's longer than either of you have been shooting architectural interiors. And neither one of you have ever had your work as much comprised of like real estate volume as I do. I mean, I love my real estate clients. And, you know, here in the Bay Area, we get some nice real estate. But you guys have pretty quickly got to the point where it's much more of your volume has been in commercial work, much more with like architects, interior designers, builders. You're clearly doing something really effectively to build that kind of clientele that quickly. And you're absolutely doing the kind of work that warrants it, but having a successful business serving those clients is a whole different thing than just doing great work. So what can each of you tell people about how to build that kind of like high-end architecture and interiors business as quickly as you both have?
I think for me, okay, so you can tell based on the walls that I'm the one that clearly moved in the last year because I got nothing on them right now. For me, it's just, it's about being approachable and being proactive. Like, I know when I found out like a year ago that, even longer than a year ago, that I was going to be moving up this way, I reached out to Adam. Adam had never heard of me before or ever knew, like, even who I existed. And I mean, in the last year, I've done some drone photography for him for some of his clients because he needed somebody in a pinch. And I mean, if you're really trying to like expand your business and grow your business and get out of like, it's so funny. Like you guys are talking about like messy, like clients and stuff like that. All I think about for the last 3 years before I moved, when I was living in Los Angeles, was every single listing I got was like a messy condo. And it was always like that. And the only way that I was able to expand my portfolio was having conversations like this with other photographers in the industry that are busy and need help. And also being proactive about expanding my portfolio on the side. So I did a lot of renting Airbnbs and shooting Airbnbs with like models and shots and stuff like that to kind of diversify my portfolio that way. But also I have friends in Southern California that were kind of helping me get an understanding of how to be more than just a real estate photographer and how to offer more services and get into the architectural and commercial world. And through assisting on shoots and just kind of being able to shoot on my own, I was able to build up a portfolio that you now see today, especially with like now with my own clients too. So I mean, it just takes time. The first 3 years, I was super frustrated. I gave up landscape photography to shoot other people's messy homes. And I was like, this isn't the direction I want to head.
Right.
Yeah. I think, a lot of great points that I agree with. And, you know, I think it's a balance between letting things develop, you know, kind of organically and on their own through referrals, through cultivating what you already have, you know, at the beginning of the year, if you've already shot for a client, you know, a builder, an architect, maybe you just have a few of them to start with, you know, get a projection of what they expect to finish this year and just assume that they're going to hire you, you know, like be assertive when you're in your communication when it comes to that. But then also, you know, a couple other points is, you know, being sure to, you know, keep an eye out for who's following you on Instagram, you know, and make direct contact with them and, you know, be flattering and be fairly direct, but, you know, don't beg them to let you, you know, shoot their project at the same time. It's always finding that balance. And really, from there, it's just, you know, I think I had to hit the ground running, you know, in my case, I left a pretty stable career. So I wanted to go after the higher end of the market. And I think it's really important to, you know, to be conscious of what you're showing, you know, no doubt that Instagram, your website, you know, they're critically important. So you have to really curate what you want people to see and, you know, think about who you're trying to attract. And we've heard this point made probably a million times on this podcast, but I can't reiterate it enough. You know, in regards to, you know, showing what you want to shoot, displaying what you want to shoot. And then really just the relationships are everything, you know, if it's your work ethic and your relationships and, you know, following up with your existing clients, making sure they know they're important and they'll refer people to you, you know, if you play it cool and it just develops in a really great way. But, you know, you can't be desperate and too aggressive with, you know, reaching out to people that you're not ready to shoot for either.
And Adam, Stephen, and Peter, and both Brian too. I would say that clarification of expectations is so important. It is really something you really have to go over with your clients to make sure that you're gonna succeed and you're not gonna fail. And what do you think about that, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, we've all been burned before with unhappy clients.
And that's our fault.
Yeah. It's exactly.
It's not 100%. Their fault. Yeah.
Most of the time it's not. I mean, we all have that agent or that client that's not going to be happy no matter what.
Still our fault though.
Exactly.
It's
but when you have that client, yeah, you take the blame for it and you take the grunt of it, but maybe you don't work with them again, but making sure the clients understand what they're getting, what they're hiring you for, what they can use with the photos, which we all know is the most important thing, where they're allowed to share them, where they're not, all that stuff has to be all. I mean, for recurring clients, it's not, they kind of understand your workflow and what you do, but with new clients, I mean, that's the most important thing is educating them how you work, what you do, and what to expect when they hire you. So there are no surprises.
Yeah.
The back end. But with that, I'm going to take a quick break and just give a little word from iGUIDE. iGUIDE is a turnkey solution for those looking to expand their real estate photography businesses beyond photography to add 3D tours, laser accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans. Get your first 5 standard iGUIDEs free by adding the code shooting spaces in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more. And with that, Steve, I want to take the conversation somewhere where that you just mentioned. And I think, Peter, you kind of hinted at it too, when you guys did the shoot together, and that's bringing models on a shoot because, you know, Steven, I think I've told you this before, probably a few times. One of the biggest things I love about the work you're producing is your use of models.
Yes.
And not only your use of models, but out of all the work I see out there with use of models, you tell a story the best with your models. You know, I see architectural images everywhere with somebody walking across the frame with a motion blur. And we see that all the time. It's, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's cliche at this point, but we do see that all the time. But you use your models to tell a story. And the one shot of yours that always comes to mind for some reason, I don't know why, is the shot with the fireplace with the mother and the daughter on that bench. And And I just love that shot because it tells a perfect story. So talk about, and maybe if you send me the picture, I can post it in the show notes so people know what I'm talking about. But talk about how you even decided to start using models, what your thought process is there, how you go about that whole thing.
So I guess a lot of this actually relates to the fact that I started with landscape photography, and mostly because of Instagram. So I was going to places in California that were really overshot, and the way that people were kind of differentiating themselves, or photographers were differentiating themselves from other photographers, but were sticking models in the shots and making these landscapes more of a lifestyle kind of photo. And for me, like, and I'm sure millions of other people out there, they were very drawn into these very dramatic looking scenes. And when I got into real estate photography, I kind of had to shift my whole focus and make my brain start thinking, like, just because you can't go to Europe or go to Asia or go to Australia or New Zealand and all these places, like, doesn't mean that you've got to give up photography. Like, just try and think of it like anytime you go into a new home, you're seeing how somebody else like lives their lives. And you're kind of like making your brain think about like, I was trying to make my brain feel like I was still into the landscape thing. But you kind of had to give up the idea of having people in it for a little while, especially with real estate. Over the last year though, I obviously, because I'm now 4 years into this, I've been looking at more like architectural and lifestyle photos and seeing how they kind of made an impression on me. And I noticed that I was finding most of these photos still on Instagram, even if it was a listing that like a property that was just hitting the market. I was realizing that I'm definitely not going on the MLS. I'm not going on Zillow. I'm not going on Trulia or Redfin or any of those places, but I'm going on Instagram and coming across these images. So the way that I kind of went about it with adding people and models to photos was telling my clients like, hey, listen, like, I'm a first time home buyer right now, and I'm attracted to these pretty images that I'm seeing on Instagram. They might not translate really well to what you're seeing on the MLS, but let me take like 5 extra photos where there's models in the photos. And that's some good material for your Instagram page. That's going to draw eyes to your images that you don't have to post on the MLS or on Zillow or where it might be frowned upon. So that was kind of my approach. I was so new to like the real estate industry as a whole anyways, that it was like, I just figured, you know what, why not just wing it and see what works. And, I got a very positive, response to it. In fact, when I started to build my business up here in the Bay Area, the first few jobs that I was hired for were lifestyle photography. Now, a lot of the realtors didn't really, I didn't understand what they meant by lifestyle, but I guess it's the same thing as like when they say we want a virtual tour, and they meant video versus a Matterport. Like, it was the same thing. But actually the first shoot that I did out here, my wife was in the photos, and the home was, it was a $5.5 million home in Mill Valley. It was a beautiful property, but it was cool. I got to build a portfolio just based off of models and shots, and got my name passed around a little bit. Did I answer?
I almost feel like your shots, I feel like they're not interior or architectural images, but they're more of like a portrait in a beautiful setting, if that makes any sense. Just the way you pose them, the way you tell the story, you know, it's like a lifestyle portrait in a beautiful home or whatever that setting is. And it takes a whole different approach to the viewer.
Agree. And 100%, some of these shots that are reaching our hearts, you know, these are things that when we want to show the potential buyer, that this is something that is going to really resonate with them. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So, I was, I think, so when it comes to landscape photography, I really love compression shots, and real estate doesn't love compression shots. They might like them, but they don't realize it until like after the fact. They like the wide shots, and they like to see everything they possibly can in the photo. And I was trying to figure out a way to tell a story of the home without giving away the whole place. To me, it's how are you going to market the house? Put a model in there, maybe turn them away from the image so that like a potential buyer can see themselves standing on the by the door frame walking into the bedroom, or against a banister, like overlooking like a nice vista view or something like that. It's, to me, it's all about storytelling. I do videography as well for real estate, and it's the same thing. Like, don't give this false impression of a place, give the reality of the situation, and you're bound to get more people interested from it.
Adam, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about what Stephen just put out there? But how do you feel about what's really, really important to give the viewer, the potential buyer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I love what Stephen's doing. The fact that he's doing it in a real estate photography context is great. You know, it's actually something that I haven't done. I've had realtors cost share on big residential architecture projects that I've shot where we've included people, you know, and I try to do two or three shots on every project that, you know, include some life. And I think that, you know, what Stephen's doing, it's really a forward thinking way of looking at it. And I had a call with a branding consultant today that was redesigning the website of a top realtor that I shoot for in the area. And, you know, she's really trying to go with a more modern approach. And we're going to be doing a project where we go to her past listings and actually show some of the new people in them, you know, and that becomes kind of more of like what Stephen's doing. And, you know, he shared with me that in the UK, it's some of the bigger, you know, real estate brokerages are already kind of doing this work. So it's a totally different spin on it, you know?
That's awesome. That sounds like a really novel concept. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's exciting. You know, my experience with people, it's one of the hardest things, you know, because the second you put somebody in a photo, they become the focal point. And it's like, there's so many different ways you can place them. And, you know, I had some commercial projects last year and, you know, it can eat up a lot of your time, you know, and, I know you guys understand this because you've all tried it, but you know, you're having to add on this additional layer. And so, you know, the way I do it is it really for me is more of a background element. But you know, I think that's a totally different thing. You know, I think what Stephen's doing with real estate is, you know, it's pretty cutting edge, and you know, it does, like you said, it becomes more of a portrait of this beautiful state in this beautiful space. It's like an environmental portrait.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was actually, you know, you mentioned, sorry, Peter, you mentioned, you know, that becomes the focal point of the image. And I was actually talking to Tony Colangelo, our friend, yesterday about this. When you start adding people, those people become the focal point of the images and not the interiors. And I sort of feel like, so what? As long as that picture resonates with you and hits somewhere inside you, then totally. So what? You know what I mean? No one's going to say, well, it's really an architectural shot, so right. He didn't really achieve his goal. But no, I feel like as long as that picture hits you and someone's like, wow, that's a good shot. I want to be there. I know what that person's feeling. I know what happened to that person, whatever that story is, then you were successful.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, follow the lead of your client. I mean, some of the architects I shoot for would never want a person, you know, they always want, they never would want that. Some of them will give you more creative freedom. You just have to, really know who you're working with. And, you know, there are other architecture firms that only want groups of people in a commercial setting to fill in the space and give it scale. And, you know, I think, you know, when you have that client that's kind of taking your lead and gives you the creative freedom to make those decisions, run with it and have some fun. And to your point, Brian, you know, like, who cares? Make a great photo, you know, that's compelling and different. And, you know, I love to look at it that way and treat each situation as its own unique opportunity.
So Adam, let me ask you, what would you say to people that are photographers that are just getting into this and want to go into this realm, more of a niche, you know, trying to get people involved in shots and such. But what would you say to talk to your client about, to say, to open a dialogue about how can we add people, or what I mean, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's in the pre-production. I'm sure, you know, Stephen can share his thoughts as well with how he does it, but you know, it's really, it's in the pre-production and, you know, seeing if they're open to the idea in the first place. You know, when you do your scout, understand where they might fit, you know, have a good, you have to have a rock solid understanding of who those people are going to be that are in the shots. You know, you can only use the, you know, your assistant or the architect's wife so many times and so many shots. So sometimes it's just a couple and that can be really powerful. You know, it's like somebody leaning on a deck in a twilight shot in the distance. And, you know, really it's just, it's about planning and, like you said, you know, clarity of expectations with your client and making sure they're into that idea.
And what's the word? Foresight or to vision it, to have an
envision,
visualize that this will really add to the shot. So, you know, that's kind of, somebody who's getting into this is going to go, oh, I want to do this, but you know, to talk to your client about that as you're setting up the shot.
Yeah. And once you have a couple, then you know, you have something to share with them as an example. So
a line that's worked really well for me is let's talk about your branding. You don't know how many realtors they don't know when they think of branding, they're like, oh yeah, Keller Williams, that's my branding. Or, oh yeah, Compass, that's my branding. And it's like, well, then what about the person down the street that also works for Compass? Is Compass their branding too? Like, how are you going to differentiate yourself to your potential next seller? You need to put yourself in a photo of a home that you're selling, make it look like you actually do a lot of business. And like, when you start having these like open conversations with your realtors and they start kind of coming around and like realizing, oh, this isn't just a guy that owns a camera and knows how to click a button. This is a guy that has a creative vision. And it kind of elevates your own personal brand. And I mean, I guess kind of pushes you in front of other clients as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Can I jump the rails with like a kind of out of left field kind of question for you,
okay.
Steve?
Okay. Go ahead.
Steve has shown me recently a couple of brief real estate videos that he's made that are like totally breaking the mold. They're really simple, quiet, serene, and all about the mood, or I guess like branding or whatever, but it's anything but the typical. It'll be like just scarcely any motion, and then the curtain is blowing and it'll be like the sound of wind. Or Steve, I haven't seen anyone else doing anything quite like it. I mean, you can't be the first one, right? They've certainly evoked a response in me and stuck in my mind.
There's a videographer, his name is Art Sanchez, that does stuff like this. His work is phenomenal. Lauren Engel out of Los Angeles has been doing work like this as well. So before I lived in Los Angeles, I actually went to college in San Francisco. That was my first exposure to California. And I've been living in cities for like 15 years before I moved to Marin County. And when I think of Marin County, I don't think of a homeless person screaming on the street next to me, or like San Francisco Muni like buzzing down the street, or BART or anything like that. And I also, because I lived in Southern California for so long, I didn't see a drop of rain for 10 years. That for me, it was like, it's the same thing with adding people to photos. It's like, well, let's tell the actual story that's going on. Let's create like this like feeling of serenity of like, you're going to be moving to a place, especially right now with COVID, like you're moving out of a city, you're moving into the suburbs, you're moving into a place where you just want to get away from people. How do you do that? You introduce bird noises in your videos, you introduce rain in the videos and the sound of rain, like pattering against the windows. And in one of the last videos, I had a tea kettle that was making a lot of noise and stuff like that. And it's just, it's calm and it's inviting. When I got into real estate videography, I was very much turned off by like the EDM music and the Look at Amarillo, Texas, and you got nobody around for 5 miles, but we're having a party here. It's like, it's ridiculous. And yeah, I just wanted to.
With the Maserati pulling up.
Yeah, Maserati.
Right.
I mean, I just wanted to present something that was like a little more real to people that are becoming first time homeowners.
I'd also like to pay a little compliment to my friend Adam here. Adam, you know, being so close to me, he's, because of the connections he's made so effectively, has been shooting some really, some places that are just like perfectly suited to the sort of like wine country environment. And I don't mean like the sort of glitz of it. I mean like the serenity of it, the calmness of it, the quietness, the sort of pastoral feel of it. And I feel like, Adam, the way that your style has developed, the way that you've developed your look, is just so beautifully suited to it. You're not going crazy with lighting. I get the sense that a lot of your shots are like all ambient. You're not going crazy with contrast. You're not going crazy with colors. And it's like the whole photo, the whole, all the architecture, the way you're presenting it just has like a feel. So keeping with like what Stephen is talking about here. You're not like, this isn't like a place in the Redwoods with EDM music. You know, this is a glass modern home surrounded by ornamental grasses and a lot of space and a broad horizon. And it's just done like so perfectly. Like the look of the photo and the mood of the photo fits the place. And it's almost like, it conveys it even more effectively because of the way that you're doing it. You're not overdoing anything. You're letting it be sort of quiet and understated, and it just so perfectly suits the properties that you're shooting.
Thank you, Peter. That's so kind of you. I really appreciate that. And you know, I think it's interesting to think about how like a background in shooting nature and landscapes maybe has informed some of that. You know, I definitely started out fully embracing, you know, direct harsh highlights and window light and, you know, planning shoots around when the light is going to look most dramatic in a shot, you know, waiting for the time of day when, you know, the light is streaming in and hitting the furniture directly and, you know, trying to convey the space, you know, lit by nature, whether it's, you know, dappled leaves on the exterior of a home, you know, highlights coming in, just really trying to kind of embrace how it really feels. And there's a fair amount of flash, but yeah, it's heavier on ambient and, you know, using a lot of Lumensia, you know, a lot of luminosity masking and, you know, sparingly adding the strobe in. I mean, sometimes you absolutely need it. And it's just trying to keep some constraint. You know,
it's not very apparent in your photos. It looks so natural. It's really quite remarkable. You're getting a really clean, natural, soft, understated look. And I just love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think a lot of times it's also shooting these homes, you know, I'll cover my tracks multiple times. And I know a lot of people do this, but you know, if you're really finding the right shots throughout the day, I'll revisit a room, you know, when it looks better, you know, and be able to move through the shots quickly. And I end up using half of the folder ends up being from like 2 hours of a 10-hour day, you know, because you're using those moments effectively, you know, to go back to those tripod positions and capture the light when it tells the story the best.
Well, I think that's one of the hardest things, excuse me, when people are starting to transition into the design and architectural type shots away from real estate. Because with real estate, I feel like you get in whenever it's convenient for the realtor, no matter what the light is, no matter what time of day it is, whatever works, you go in and you shoot it with flash most of the time because the light typically isn't perfect for the fourth bedroom in the corner of the house for that room. And you just go ahead. And then once you're really trying to transition, I think that's one of the biggest things besides composition, obviously, is learning when to shoot different rooms in the proper light. And once you kind of nail that and you understand it and you figure it out, your work takes on a whole new level. As far as, you know, lighting, depth, everything, contrast, everything that's going to play into that final image.
Yeah, certainly. And especially for exteriors too, you know, I mean, it's just, it's so important to nail that, you know, when you're shooting exteriors and you want to really capture the vibe of a home that's surrounded by nature, you know, surrounded by trees, you know, if you can catch that filtered light at the right time of day, and knowing when to do that, you're going to have a photo that looks, you know, twice as good, if not more.
Admiring your work, and also, like, I've been working some with Tony Colangelo, and he's been having me review the portfolios of others whose work I really admire, and like finding, you know, like for instance, like Joe Fletcher, another like really accomplished architectural photographer here in the Bay Area. And it's just such a natural look and feel. And it find, and I've always taken such care to learn to use strobes effectively. Now I feel like I'm sort of like cutting myself loose of that more and more, but I feel like I'm a little bit in a period of transition where I'm almost feeling like a little bit adrift. Like, what kind of photographer do I want to be? What do I want my look and feel to be? And how do I do it? Because honestly, like, I know how to do it the way I've been doing it. I don't really know how to do it the way that, like, your recent work is looking at him, or like, well, I don't know how to shoot like Joe Fletcher. So it's like sort of like a mid-career like transition of styles, and I'm like a little bit like, oh, learning
I think that's part of, you know, and I've worked with Tony before, and I don't want to turn this into a promo for him, and I know Steve, you worked with Tony before too, but I think part of finding your own brand is kind of trying different things, seeing what you like, seeing what works for you, and kind of discovering yourself as a photographer. And I think when you start branching out of real estate, that's when you have the opportunity to do that. You know, really, real estate alone gets very cookie cutter, because it's almost like a formula. You know, I go in and I, you know, set up the camera, I take an ambient shot, take a flash pop, and I move on. And, you know, in 2 minutes, you shot a room. And then as you're learning to progress into more complicated shoots, you're trying different methods, trying different techniques, and you're seeing what works. And, you know, that all comes together and culminates into what makes your work look like your work and what makes you a photographer. So that's glad to see you're going through it now. That's part of the transition.
It's evident it's your work too, Brian. Like your work has really evolved in sort of new directions in the last like 18 months or so, where it's just got a really, like honestly, like a magazine look and feel. Like it's sort of aspirational. Like I look at that going, yeah, I want more of that. I don't exactly know what he's doing differently, how he's controlling that, but I like it.
Well, thank you as well. But yeah, it's part of it. It's part of just shooting more, trying new things, seeing what works, what doesn't, what you like, what you don't like, and then making that your own. You know, yeah. My goal for this year is to try to take the work that I'm doing and kind of infuse a little Steve Magner into it and start using models and telling stories with people. Cause I think the work's going to take on a whole new level at that point.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, and
oh, sorry. Sometimes your clients don't even know what they want until they see what you can offer. And I mean, I know Brian and I were talking about this, like with commercial clients, I had a shot list for a shoot, and I was booked for a day. I shot everything that I needed for that booking in less than the amount of time that I was on set. And then I shot exactly what I wanted to shoot for my portfolio and was able to end up selling those portfolio images to the client. And now I only shoot like the portfolio images for that particular client.
So, nice.
I mean, it's sometimes there's a script that you have to live by, but other times it's like some of these people just have no idea what they want.
Yeah. Well played.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Steve, if I can, let me ask you, what would you say to the newer photographers that are listening and want to start to, I don't even know what I want to say. Include ideas, include
find their own
options, find their own. What would you say to again, going with clarification of expectation for the client or the photographer?
Well, I'll actually put this on Peter because I kind of forced him into a situation on that that high school shoot. Mm-hmm. Actually happened to be my wife's high school, so I wanted to go check it out. But the other thing is, like, and I, over the last year, probably a year and a half, I spent a lot of time on watching tutorials in different fields, whether it be portrait, landscape, interior design, Tony Russlin's video as well, like all this stuff on like commercial photography, and Mike Kelly's Lama course as well. And I was able to see these different ways to shoot and the different, how they were able to accomplish the images. And to me, it was always like, you take this stuff in, not because you want to be exactly like that particular person, but you want to be able to troubleshoot through situations that you don't know what you're getting into. And I think a lot of people think that, like, once they buy that course, they have to be exactly like that that teacher. The reality is, like, I don't, like, half the time when I walk into a house, the walls aren't white. So my image, when I use a flash bouncing off the ceiling.
Wait, you want white walls? Oh, my God. Jesus, bounce, what the hell do you want?
When I bounce my flash, it doesn't work. But I know that's a little bit off the subject. So, Peter, when I forced you to put people in your photos, how'd that make you feel?
I felt great about it because it's something that had already been like something I wanted to start doing more. And then the fact that you were bringing it up, like, you know what, this is exactly the time that I need to be like, something in my brain needs to trigger and go, wouldn't this be cool if we got people in this shot? And you were there so willing and eager to work with me. It was just great. I would like, so as a side note, get to know your local colleagues, competitors, whatever. Find the ones who are happy to be collaborative and then collaborate, do some cool stuff. It will improve all of you. So, like, you know, Steven's given me a nudge, Adam's given me a nudge, you know, like in non-coronavirus times, you know, Adam and I'll go hang out and, you know, share a beer or two at the local local place called Taps and just talk shop. And it's like, you'll always walk away from it with new ideas in your head. And so I, like, if you look at my commercial portfolio, that shot with you walking across the quad at that high school is the leading shot. I felt so good about it. And honestly, you know what? It wouldn't have happened without you. I mean, I'd like to take credit for the shot, but it wouldn't be in my portfolio if it weren't for you saying, hey, what if I come help you out and we throw some people in the shot and see what we got? I delivered it both ways to my clients. They're kind of inclined towards a shot without people, but I don't care. I mean, I'm great. I mean, they have them both.
I'm looking at it now. That's you, Steve.
That's Steve in the red.
Ah, nice.
I hope you got a model release from him, man. He's going to be suing you pretty.
But, you know, adding those people, even though they didn't take the people, like, that's not for that client. That's for the next client to see that you're.
Exactly. That's what I want to be producing. It's sort of like, you know, shooting what you want, you know, what you want to shoot.
Yeah.
And obviously shooting what you want to shoot, but like, if you have it in your portfolio, other clients who can find you and go, hey, you know that shot from that high school? Can we do something like that?
Now, sometimes you got to make what you want. You've got to convince your client that's what they want. And I think that's the bottom line, you mm-hmm. know?
Well, you're the professional. You're bringing the ideas. You're sort of showing them the potential and the possibilities. It's
exactly.
Like
exactly. Yeah. You are the professional. You are the one with the answers because they don't know. They really don't know. They're grasping for ideas, how to make their business more successful, how to make mm-hmm. their houses sell, how to whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff. So we're running out of time, guys. So we're gonna
running out of time.
Yeah. So we're gonna wrap it up. But I think you what? Sorry.
No, I'm just gonna go from Photo Up. We all know that Photo Up is a leader in real estate photo editing. But did you know that they offer floor plans, virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, and virtual assistants. Virtual assistants, that's great. Did you know that? Having all your business services under one roof helps streamline your workflow so you can spend more time shooting spaces and less time stuck under your computer. Okay, so no more wasted time uploading and downloading or logging on to 10 different website accounts. Run your entire business through one account so you can shoot more, manage less, and spend more time doing what you love. There you go. Check out Shooting Spaces website to receive $100 discount off your first full month of PhotoUp services. So check out photoup.net/shootingspaces.
Awesome. So I want to thank everybody for coming on today. It was a good chat. And I know when we started this, this is very impromptu for the people listening out there. We put this whole thing together about 2 or 3 hours ago. Thank you guys for coming on last minute. And we didn't really have a direct plan or a route which we were going to go, but I think we covered a lot of interesting, unique topics, which we probably haven't spoken about before. And it's fun chatting, Rich. I think we should do some more of these little five-person roundtables.
I think it's a great start. Let's do it again.
It's been fun.
Yeah. I hope it's not confusing for the people who are audio only about who's speaking, but I guess they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Yeah. Not our problem.
Yeah. Rich and Brian, Steve and Adam, this has been fun. I've enjoyed it. Thanks so much for everyone's time and joining us here.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys and everything that, you know, Brian and Rich, that you guys do for this community. I know starting out.
Yeah.
Many years ago, when my business was ramping up, it was always nice to hear you guys getting people on and having those aha moments, you know, best practices. So Keep it up. Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to thank especially Stephen and Adam for both of you are the absolute tops in your field. And the people out there listening should check out your websites and see the work that you do. But I think it's been great. And as always, Peter Lyons is my number one guy. He's going to go,
I didn't make any of this stuff up, Rich.
I know. He didn't make me say this. But, you know, Peter Lyons is my mentor. He really is my mentor.
I'm just passing on what's been given to me. I'm, you know, eternally grateful to people like Thomas Gruba and Scott Hargis and Wayne Capilli, who have been like the foundation of my business. All I've ever told anyone else has come from someone else who first gave it to me. So to those guys and others who aren't, you know, Mike Kelly, I'm forgetting to mention people, I'm sure, but like there's a handful of people really given me it all.
Peter, you're not winning an award, so you don't need to mention all those people. I'm sorry, but I will say all the things that I do, all my shit is from Scott Hargis and Peter Lyons and Wayne Capilli and things like that. So and Thomas Gruba. So yes, I'm with you 100%.
Awesome. So just want to remind everyone to subscribe to our email list so you have our new episodes right in your inbox. And don't forget to submit Ask the Guys questions. We need some of those, Rich. We're running low.
Please ask the guys and be sure to just say, hey, I need to know this and that. And I just want to say thank you to Stephen and Peter and Adam and Brian, too. But I want to say thank you so much. And be sure to just go out there and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.